The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today we're talking about fasting, the who, the what, the why. So we're going to talk more about what is fasting, why fasting works, but I want to break down how to make it effective, what happens on a cellular level. I think that's so important because sometimes people will just fast for weight loss, and sometimes we just think that fasting is reducing calories. And it might be, but really not. It's not about counting calories. So I really want to break down, who might be in the more not ideal or caution group. I want to go through some myth busting on what fasting is not. But then inevitably, more about what is happening to your body in the different phases. So what happens between 0 and 4 hours, 4 and 12. So a kind of a fasting timeline, because each one of those actually has a different benefit. So we'll talk more about that today. Before we get into that, let's talk about some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
For today's Health in the News, nearly half of seniors improve with age, and researchers think they know why. Nearly half of adults 65 and older showed improvement in cognitive and or physical function. So aging is often depicted as a steady decline, but new research suggests that many older adults actually improve over time. Using more than a decade of data from a large representative study of older Americans, Yale University researchers found that nearly half of adults 65 and older showed improvement in cognitive function, physical function, or both. The improvements were consistent across the study population and were linked to the participants' mindset about aging. In contrast to a predominant belief or stereotype that age is a time of continuous and inevitable decline, we found evidence that a meaningful number of older persons actually show improvement over 12 years in cognitive and or physical health. This came from Becca Levy, a professor of social and behavioral science at Yale. The research was published in the Journal of Geriatrics, and it relied on data from the Health and Retirement Study, a federally supported long-running survey of older Americans. Researchers tracked changes in cognition using global performance and measured physical function based on walking speed, which was seen as a, quote, vital sign because of all of its links to disability, hospitalizations, and mortalities. Over a 12-year period, 45% of participants improved either mentally or physically. About 32% showed cognitive gains, while 28% improved physically, according to the study. If you average everyone together, you see decline, Levy said. But when you look at individual trajectories, you uncover a very different story. A meaningful percentage of older participants got better. A participant's belief about aging appeared to influence the results, as those with more positive age beliefs were significantly more likely to show improvement in both cognition and walking speed. This remained true even after accounting for factors such as age, sex, education, chronic disease, depression, and the length of follow-up. If improvements were seen, even among participants who started with normal levels of function, not just those recovering from injury or illness. They said individuals who have taken in positive age beliefs tend to have lower stress response and lower stress biomarkers. Because age beliefs are modifiable, she noted, there could be a capacity for improvements later in life. The study did have some limitations, researchers acknowledged. It didn't look at how muscle or brain cell changed and adapt, which could explain why people improved. Future studies should be examined for improvement other than cognition. In addition, although our participants were drawn from a nationally represented sample, it could be useful to examine patterns of improvement in additional cohorts that have a greater representation of different ethnic minority groups. The author said that they hope to their findings will debunk the myth that continuous physical and cognitive decline is inevitable. What they said is, we found evidence that there could be physiological pathways, behavioral pathways, and psychological pathways which age belief impacts health. It is common and it should be included in our understanding of the aging process. And I will say that this entire research study it really did make my heart happy. And here's why. Because I see a good handful of people in the office. And I was just talking today that I saw a patient this past week and she turned 88 years old. And I just think about how vibrant, and she came to one of our health transformations recently and she was like, I can't wait to start doing my high intensity interval training. Like, I can't wait to do my burst training and I'm so excited about life and this and that. And she's just like, when I look at her, I just always think like, oh, she's probably in her 60s. And in reality, you know, she's in her late 80s and I look at her, I'm like, I want to be like you when I grow up, because she doesn't have a negative attitude. It's not all the things that she can't do. It's the things that she wants to do and the things that she can add in to be better. And she's really just harnessed this whole vibrant life that she has created for herself because she's been proactive, you know. And then I see the people that are in their 40s and their 50s and they're like, you know, I'm just getting old. And I'm like, you're not allowed to play the quote old card until you're in your 80s, you know. But then we've got dozens of people in our office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic who are in their 80s and they are nothing more than excited for life and vibrant, and they don't see it something that's happening to them. They get to see that it's something that they get to choose to live this awesome, amazing life. And I want to embody that myself. You know, as I age, everyone will ask like, oh my gosh, like, how do you feel getting older? And I had a friend years ago who said, what was the verbiage she used? Growing older and aging is not a gift everyone gets to experience. Like, it's not a blessing everyone gets. And so I have just always seen that every birthday year where that, you know, calendar number changes, I always see it as this is something that I get to experience. And there's not everyone gets to experience the blessing of growing older. And I just think it's a wonderful thing. And it just, you know, you see something like this Yale research study and it just shows the mindset that views it as more of a blessing really does get to shift and change. So now when we come back, let's talk more about intermittent fasting, the hows and the whys next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. For more information and to schedule an appointment, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com.
Good morning. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today we are talking about fasting. About what is fasting, who should and should not do it. But most importantly, I want people to be able to understand cellularly what's happening to their body as they fast. Now, let's talk about what is fasting. It's probably the greatest place to start. I feel like a lot of people think like fasting and wasting when put together is the same thing. Like fasting is not starvation, right? Fasting is intentional time without caloric intake. Again, it's not starvation. It's controlled and it's strategic. So sometimes people, the verbiage people will use as well is time restricted eating. So it's basically a window of eating. There's intermittent fasting. So intermittent fasting is more structured fasting days. Or you can do an extended fasting period. That's for like, say, 24 plus hours. Now, I'll talk about this because often people will say, how do I fast? Like, how do I do intermittent fasting? And the answer to that, in my personal opinion, is that you really can't do it wrong because you can modify. This is one, well, I mean, there was one time I had a guy who fasted for 3 days and broke his fast with potato chips. So I would say that maybe that was wrong. But majority of the time, like it's, you know, it's kind of hard to do it wrong. So let's talk about what breaks that fast. What breaks the fast is some people say calories, and some people say if it affects insulin levels, so if it like moves your blood sugar. So oftentimes people will say black coffee, water, electrolytes. Those are genuine. Some people will say broth, though you could argue that that broth might have calories in it, though most broths would not elicit an insulin or a blood sugar response. So also, for example, well, sometimes there's this, we have this fasting formula in the office that does not affect insulin. It is lower calories. It's more broth in nature, but you know, it allows you to get 15 to 20 grams of protein in without breaking your fast. So, but fasting is less about not eating and it's more about when your body shifts into repair mode. So I think that's kind of the big picture, why someone would fast. Someone typically fast, you have to think like generally as individuals, people who we are, we live in a constant fed state. We are eating every 2 to 3 hours, so the body never switches modes. It's typically addressing glucose, insulin, processing food. So fasting is a period without that. Now, if you've listened to me for long enough, you will likely find some sort of video or information that I showed way back in the early 2010s. And it was one that the thought process was very much, you have to be eating every 2 to 3 hours, right? You have to eat 2 to 3 hours. And the thought process behind that was that when you put yourself in a fasted state, that your body saw it as starvation and it would hold on to everything, right? So it was like, hey, if you want to lose weight, you need to be eating all of the time, because then your body's, then your metabolism's always moving. And when you give it the fasted times, then your body's like, oh no, I'm starving. Let me hold on to everything. So then when you feed it normally, then it would hold on to all of those things. Now, fast forward to today, when you're like, that's not what you're saying at all. And yes, you are correct. And the reason why is because there's so much more research now that came out in the last decade and a half or so that really allowed us to know more about what's happening cellularly when we go through this. So there's really kind of two states of mind, if you will, two concepts. Number one is the fed state. So your body's in storage mode. With that, insulin is always elevated, fat storage is increased, and where the other one, the other state, if you will, the other concept is a fasted state, and that has to deal a lot with repair mode. That's where you'll see insulin drops, you'll see fat burning increases, and you'll see a lot of this cellular cleanup begin. A lot of autophagy related processes. So I really want to talk. I had someone who actually talked to me today specifically about like 72 plus hour fast and cancer in the process of autophagy. And autophagy is just basically cellular cleanup. And so the answer to that is yes. That is one of the cellular reasons why I will go through longer fast periods. Because of what's happening cellularly. I've had family members who've been diagnosed with cancer. And so those are ones where I personally don't want to wait until I would ever get diagnosed with cancer. I'm going to continue to do all of the things that requires my body to get rid of cancer before it's problematic. We all have cancer, right? It's figuring out what does that look like for the body. So let's talk a little bit. I think it's good, like this is not everyone should fast. Okay. So let's be a little bit clear about that. Now there's modified, not everyone should do longer fasts or some modified fasts. The people who I do not personally feel should fast is anyone who is pregnant or breastfeeding. That's, I have team members ask me all the time. They will say, I have a breastfeeding patient. Can she? And I say, nope. And they're like, well, I didn't ask you. And I say, well, if you have to ask me, the answer is probably no, because nothing, you know, you can't in good faith test safety on a pregnant mom or an infant baby. So same thing, people can say, can I detox while pregnant or nursing? No, it's just a season of life that you are growing and sustaining life. And it is a wonderful, wonderful, amazing season. That season is not for you. That season is for the baby. And so growing baby, nourishing baby, moms, you get to do nothing fun nursing or pregnant. There's that. Kids and teens are another one. Those are ones that it's just not truly necessary. I will say being extraordinarily cautious about individuals who have a history of an eating disorder or who are already underweight. And not that you would necessarily do it for weight loss. I can say candidly, I have probably done my longest fast was a water fast, and that was 5 days. And I've never, you know, I'll do intermittent fasting. I'll do 2 or 3 day fast. Sometimes I'll do a 4 day fast. I've never once weighed myself, because for me, the benefits, and there is likely some weight loss, but I'm not doing it to lose weight. And likely it's because you're not eating. So there's a certain point where you go back to consuming substance, like actual food, you're likely going to gain some of that back. I have never done fasting for weight loss. I have always done fasting for cellular health. So we'll kind of break down that here in a bit. I would say the people who need to address with extreme caution would be people who have more advanced adrenal burnout, are in a chronic fight or flight or stressed state. You know, not all stress is bad, but when the body is already in a state of fight or flight or stress, and then you create a new stress on it, it doesn't often go the best. It's just harder on the body. The other ones who that really do need quite a bit of monitoring are people who are on insulin, blood sugar medication, or blood pressure medication. Those are ones that likely need a bit more monitoring, because obviously if you have someone who is a diabetic, I don't think the best spot for them is a 24-hour or 72-hour fast. You know, that might be someone who is, if they're checking their blood sugar, needs to pay a bit more attention, but that's just an aspect that you can kind of modify. So that would be one if you have a primary care or someone who's managing those processes before you would start. That is most definitely one that needs to be monitored a little bit more closely. Now let's talk a little bit about myth busting, because I think this is very important. What fasting is not. They all do, each kind of time span has different benefits. So just because it's longer doesn't necessarily mean it's better. They serve different purposes. It's not required for everyone to be healthy. It's not a free pass to eat junk food in your window, i.e. potato chip gentleman. You know what's funny is that he didn't actually tell me his wife did, which I thought was even funnier. I think it's one that it creates a process so it can help the body heal, right? So when we return, let's talk a bit more about specific time windows and the benefits that you will see within those frames next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Videos, tips, deals, and more. Find Greenwood Family Chiropractic on Instagram. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today, we're walking through fasting. Now, there are different times that you can fast, and there's different benefits. There are shorter fasts, more moderate fasts, and more extended fasts. So we're going to break down some of the benefits of each one of those, what they'll see. Now, let's talk about and start with shorter fasts. Shorter fasts, you'll typically look at a metabolic reset, fat adaptation. This you're looking at, we'll say like 12 or 10 to 16 hours, right? So you have to think, these are windows of eating. So for example, if you had a 12-hour window of fast, you'd have 12 hours eating. Make sense? 12 plus 12 is 24. There's 24 hours in a day. So think, if you had dinner at 6 o'clock, like you finish dinner at 6 o'clock, then you don't eat until 6 o'clock the next day. So 12 hours, it's relatively small. Right, those are like no bedtime snacks. Don't munch at 4 a.m. when you get up. Now, when you get closer to the 16, right, if you have a 16-hour fast, if you were to end at 6, oh no, I'm going to have to do math. Six to six is 12, right? Six to six is 12 hours plus an additional four. So that's at like 10 o'clock. Six, 12, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. Yeah, like 10 o'clock. So you basically skip breakfast, this is the long story short, if you're doing like a 16 hour. So that would give you an 8 hour window. 16 plus 8 is 24. Yep. That would give you an 8 hour window. So then you would eat from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's your eating window. And then you would fast again from 6 p.m. to 10 a.m. Sometimes it's easier when you can see this visual. Now, if you're like, oh my gosh, like for me, there are some times I don't even get home until 7 or 7:30. Well, okay, then you could switch it, right? You can do intermittent fasting and say, hey, my window is going to be from, if you want a 16-hour window, then it's from, you know, you eat from noon to 8 p.m. and then you fast from 8 p.m. to noon the next day. So you can shift it around. My husband, honestly, was telling me years ago, he was when he was still in the training, I think maybe for the academy or whatever department he was on. But he had his trainer worked nights. And so he or she would actually skip dinner and then only eat breakfast and lunch. And I thought that was very interesting because it was just an example of like, that's what really worked for that person. And you're not necessarily doing it wrong. That just their window was breakfast and lunch, not lunch and dinner, where the average person would likely choose lunch and dinner. Another great example, I was talking to a patient today and she said, man, I've been doing intermittent fasting and I honestly feel great. I'm going to keep up with it. She said, but I really miss breakfast. And I said, well, you want to know what's great? A household favorite of ours is breakfast dinner. I.e. just do breakfast for dinner, right? Just eat something really good and healthy in that window. So here in that window, that shorter fast, we'll say 10 to 16 hours, here's what's happening physiologically. So your insulin levels start to drop. So because you are not putting in any sugar or things that turn into sugar, you'll start to see blood sugar and insulin levels drop. Once those drop, then your body will store extra sugar in the liver. It's considered glycogen. So anytime it starts to go down, your body's like, no big deal. I've got this covered. Here is some glycogen. So it starts utilizing that glycogen. Your body will always utilize sugar first and foremost. Insulin, glucose, glycogen. It's always going to utilize that first. And then what happens over that course of time when it's gone through all of that storage, then this is where we consider it fat adapted. It switches its body from being a sugar burner or an insulin burner, and the body begins switching to use fat for fuel. This is also where we see in this window that growth hormone starts to rise. So the benefit of these shorter fasts is that you'll see an improved insulin sensitivity. What happens more often than not is when your body is continually increasing sugar, which increases, you know, insulin, because insulin's what's going to help get it out, right? So it's like sugar, insulin, 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 and it does it over and over and over again that the body almost mutes it, right? That's really where over the course of time, that's where type 2 diabetes occurs, is that you've had so much sugar that the body keeps calling on insulin, that insulin's just like, hey, I'm tired. You're making me work with all this glucose. Glucose is too high, and that's where we become diabetic. So we want insulin to be sensitive. We want insulin to be like, ooh, I spy that glucose. Let me go get it, right? This also shorter fast will help reduce late night snacking and glucose spikes, right? So you're eating snacks. Oftentimes they're sugar-based or carbohydrate-based. Right before bed, it spikes it and you go to bed. This allows for the body to increase fat burning. You'll see better metabolic flexibility and an improved energy stability. Now, who is these short ones best for? I will say this is more of the beginner. If you have not fasted before, I would not necessarily jump into a 2 or 3 day fast. This is, again, for women who are a bit more high stress. This is for busy professionals, or this is someone who's working on weight loss or blood sugar balance. This is what that short fast would be for. Now let's talk about more moderate or a bit longer fasts. And now if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter. Now, more moderate fast, this is more of the 18 to 24 hour. Some might call this a one meal a day, where they might just eat once, right? So that's close to a 18, maybe 24 hour fast. Or this is somewhere where oftentimes I will hear that someone just says, maybe on a specific day, you know, they're like, I fast on Mondays. I just don't eat on Monday. So their last meal might be Sunday night. They choose not to eat on Monday, and then Tuesday they go back. This type of fast is what you'll often see is for more fat loss or hormonal optimization. So what is happening physiologically, so cellularly? You will see growth hormone rises. You will see ketone production increases. Fun fact about ketone production, this is often where you'll see more like ketogenesis. People are like, ketones are a marker of energy. So like oftentimes if I'll have like a urine analysis, my urine analysis will always flag as abnormal because you will see ketones in the urine. Why? Because not only do I fast, I also do a lower glycemic. I do higher protein, higher fat diet. You'll often start to see more inflammatory markers decrease. And the burning of fat will increase. So now some benefits of this. You will see an accelerated fat loss that comes through here. You'll see appetite regulation improve. You'll see increased mental clarity because ketones fuel the brain. Oh, that's what I was gonna say. So what's interesting is that ketones have actually been studied with reducing seizure activity. So oftentimes, if there is someone who has a seizure, you will find that their practitioner may recommend more of a ketogenic style diet. And that's why, because you will see that ketones fuel the brain and can often reduce that seizure activity. It reduces systemic inflammation and it improves metabolic efficiency. This is best for individuals who are insulin resistant, have maybe seen more of a plateau in weight loss, or those who want to build more metabolic flexibility. So they want to be able to reduce cholesterol or... this is oftentimes one too where there's a couple things I want to talk about. This is the start between that 18 to 24, 16 to 24 hours that you'll see a couple other things change. One is AMPK and the other one is mTOR. It's mTOR. Now, this is one when we truly talk about cellular and why it's so important is that, I guess we have to talk a little bit more about like what AMPK and mTOR is. So AMPK is like repair mode. So think about your body's energy sensor and repair activator. So when it's turned on, during exercise versus fasting versus calorie restriction. And what AMPK does is it increases fat burning, improves insulin sensitivity, activates repair pathways, and promotes autophagy. Now, this is really important because the process of autophagy is like a cellular cleanup. So think about like cleaning up cellular debris. So AMPK is what turns on when your body realizes, hey, we need to be more efficient. We need to clean up, repair, and use what we have. So AMPK is your survival and repair switch. So that's when you're going through more of those longer fasts, more like a moderate fast, you'll start to see that increase, which is great. On the other hand, what you'll see is let's talk a bit more about mTOR. So when you fast, it activates AMPK and it suppresses mTOR. So more when we talk about what is mTOR. And again, it's like a little M, capital T, capital O, capital R. So this is your body's growth and building pathway. It is more active when you're eating frequency, when insulin is elevated, when calories are abundant. What it does is it builds muscle, supports tissue repair, promotes cellular division. And so you would think like, so mTOR is what helps you grow, repair tissue, and build muscle. But here's the key, because you say that sounds like things that I need. I don't want to decrease. Too much mTOR over time, all the time, becomes problematic. So that's constant cell growth. That's less cellular cleanup. And this is an increase. This is accelerated aging and abnormal cell growth. So think mTOR is powerful, but if it's always on, your body never takes out the trash. That makes sense? So those are ones you'll start to see on those different fasts, that this is now where we get to like the 24 hours, that this is when the repair processes really start. Now, once we get to a bit longer of those fasts, now those longer of the fasts is where we start looking at more of this like 24 to 48 plus hours. This is like a deeper fast. This is where ketones are significantly elevated. This is the point where you see insulin sensitivity is increased. Nutrient sensing pathways are suppressed. From a cellular aspect, you see this is where one of the higher autophagy activities happen. So this is one where people are always like, yeah, fat loss and growth. Like for me, this is why I like fasting. I want to turn on these cell cycles. And so specifically with like cancer cells, when we have this, cancer cells can't adapt as well. They remain vulnerable. Our body innately sees that. And it's like, ew, clean that up. That's not supposed to be there. And then two, obviously cancer loves sugar. And when you have lessened insulin, this is one where you can obviously see cancer is going to feed off of that. So this isn't like a cure for cancer, right? This is not a medical replacement. This isn't universally beneficial for all cancers, because obviously cancer is complex. Some tumors are going to rely heavier on glucose than others. But some cancer cells respond well to the process of autophagy. Now, there's different pluses and minuses that people will talk about when it comes to in terms of like how long. And there's kind of mixed reviews when it comes to, you know, health benefits. And there are a lot of the times patients will say, you know, I've read, or people will say, you know, there's really no health benefits after 72 hours. And that could be true too. When I share my longest fast of 5 days, for me, truly that fast was not, that for me was, had nothing to do with, weight loss or cellular. For me, that was more of a spiritual one. And so, but now that being said, like say you're going in and you say, I really want to do 72 hours. Right? Like that's your inevitable goal. And at 24 hours, you come in and you just feel terrible and you feel like your blood sugar is crashing and you feel lightheaded and your blood sugar is low and you feel icky. Eat something. It doesn't necessarily need to be a bag of Skittles or potato chips, but have an apple. Have some good protein, right? Increase that and say, goodness, you got to 17 hours. And that's awesome. That's a win. You saw benefits from that 17 hours. And the next day, try again. Maybe your body's tired, right? Here's a really good thing too, specifically for women. Now, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter. This is one where there are different times of your cycles that are and can be better. You know, that first kind of initial couple days following the start of menstruation, you know, your body's going through a good amount of cellular change. It's doing quite a bit of work. And that's good. I personally don't feel like that is the greatest. That's more of like a rest and reset phase for your first several days of your kind of menstrual phase. Once that completes, then you're in your follicular phase. This is typically the time before you ovulate, which for the average woman would be about day 14. This is one where it's a build and energize phase. This is likely the best time for fasting. If you want to do a longer fast, this is usually the best time. Once you ovulate, then you're in the luteal phase. This is kind of your slow down, your prepare phase. At progesterone rises, your body may try to prepare for possible pregnancies. So this is one where shorter fast. If you really want to do a fast, this would where I would encourage more of a shorter fast for that aspect. But that's kind of where, when I say inevitably, I don't feel like you can do it wrong. I've always given myself grace. Even with my more faith-based one that I did, I just knew I would know the time. And there are times that people say, how long are you going to fast for? And my answer inevitably is, I don't know. I'm going to see how it goes. And there are times that I go through and I'll get to 24 hours and I think, gosh, I can go to sleep and I'll wake up and it'll be 36. And I'll wake up in the morning and I'll feel good. I'll have mental clarity and I'll say, I can do another 12. And that evening I'll say, you know what? How do you feel? And I'll say, you know what? I think I could do another 12. And you know, at that point, then it's 60 hours, you know? So I think that's one, like, there's not a right or a wrong. So I give a lot of grace to myself and to others when it comes to that, because I do feel like there's an aspect that you can, you know, it's not like you have to do it. And if you set your sights at 48 hours and you went to 24, you didn't fail, because there's such a good health benefit that comes from that 24 hours. Now, if you want to set that goal, good, work your way up to that. You can do that. Now, I want to address a couple commonly asked questions that I have when it comes to fasting. Number one, can I take my vitamins when it comes to fasting? And I will typically say yes, but I would wait until the eating window. Remember, supplements are designed to help fill in gaps. There's certain maybe health benefits of them, but you will likely not die if you are doing, like when I did my 5-day fast, I didn't take any vitamins because my focus wasn't on vitamins and especially too, because a lot of those vitamins can cause nausea, especially if you've got really good minerals in there. They're not going to feel good if you have them on an empty stomach. So are you going to just perish if you don't have fish oil and zinc for 3 days? No, you're not. So you don't necessarily need to force supplements into a fasting window. Either take them when you eat, or if you have like a longer fast, I just wait until I am back to consuming food. Another question that I often will get asked is, will coffee break my fast? And the answer to that is generally black coffee is no. There's no calories. There's minimal insulin impact. And I said black coffee, black. Black as in like nothing in it. Sometimes when I ask for a black coffee and they say with cream, and I said, well, that would make it not black. I don't actually say that. I'm just like, no, thank you. Just plain, just black. Like, but have you had cream, sugar, additives, syrups, even if they're sugar free, don't do that. Black coffee. Now some people say, well, sometimes coffee can force the liver to expunge push out extra glycogen, increase cortisol. Ugh. If I'm going to fast, I'm probably going to do black coffee, just where I'm at in life. What about, can I drink anything besides water? Water, black coffee, unsweetened herbal tea often can be a good help, or electrolytes that have no sugar in them. So like, be careful. Some of them all have maltodextrin. Zero calorie can still oftentimes trigger insulin response. So if it tastes really sweet, your body might respond like it is. Am I losing muscle if I fast, right? I talk a lot about protein and building muscle. And so there's always a question about losing muscle if you fast. That is one where I have more specifically implemented in the fasting formula. We carry it at the office. You can always ask for more information. You are more than welcome to come. Just pop in and learn more about what we have. I will say, though, shorter fast, there's going to be minimal muscle loss. The body will prioritize fat storage and damaged protein first. So obviously ensuring that you get enough protein in your eating window, strength training, and then you know, I would avoid excessive long fast repeatedly over the course of time. Your body is smart, so it doesn't burn muscle first. So another question that I will often get is, should I work out while fasting? And for many people, they're fine, especially if they're doing more of like a eating window on a daily basis. This is one, you know, because there's obviously tons of health benefits when it comes to working out. those are ones where maybe you don't do a lot of more strenuous cardio if you're doing longer fasts. But again, for me, I fast for a purpose. And the purpose is not weight loss, which is why I don't weigh myself. The purpose is not to make sure I'm retaining muscle. The purpose is not to make sure I'm getting enough vitamins. For me, it's a very focused purpose of cellular cleaning when I'm fasting. And so those are ones where if I take my vitamins 90% of the time really good, and for 2 or 3 days every couple months I'm doing an extended fast, I don't take my vitamins, I'm pretty sure my body's still okay. If I allow my body to focus on cellular cleaning, right? Because if I want to give myself grace, I need to set my body up for that success. If I want to give my body that grace, then why am I pushing my body to do things like build muscle when my focus in that time of fasting is cellular cleaning? And so that for me, I'm sure there are other schools of thought, but that's my own personal thought when it comes down to it. So that's where we're at. Now, hopefully this is helpful. Again, I'm sure that someone will tell you there's a right or a wrong, but I think with fasting, there's such a health benefit from, you know, shorter, medium, longer fast, you know, it's for cellular healing. And so it's just one, start shorter, avoid extremes, support with adequate nutrition on the interim, but allow your body grace. It doesn't need to be done every day, but allow yourself to see that cellular healing. So hopefully this is helpful and you can utilize some of this information. Don't hesitate to reach out. Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or reach out greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. As always, I look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.